Accession number 19929, Reel 3.
Colonel Taylor, Reel 3.
You see, the thing about subversion is you've got to get the right level. The general, for example, doesn't know a thing about what his G2 down below is doing. Like, for example, the famous Klugman and Tito.
This is James Klugman, SOE headquarters in Cairo,
yes,
in the war.
And Barry.
Did you come across James Klugman?
No.
Now, I think later you were in the Malayan Emergency. Can you tell me how that came about, please, and what job you had, and when?
Yes, I was there from 53 to 57, and I joined an outfit called the Federation of Malaya Regiment, or the Federation Regiment. And this had been newly formed by Templar, to comprise out of it, it would have 40% Malays, 40% Chinese, and 20% others. They would be all mixed in their units, not like an Indian army where you had a whole company of Punjabi Muslims and a whole company of somebody else. They'd be mixed. But there'd be duplication, like a Malay, probably RSM and a British RSM, and a British would be there for some time. Now, the thinking then was, which is so extraordinary when you think what happened then about 3 years later, that there already was one battalion of Malay regiment for each state, Malay state. And then you would have this Federation regiment and a Federation armoured car regiment, which was already a Federation armoured car squadron. And they would be, they didn't have any guns, central. So any central government would have these central troops, and then all the sultans would have this one battalion each. That was the theory of the thing. Well, I mean, after all, 3 years later, it was Medeka.
So which unit were you in, personally?
Federation Regiment, 1st Battalion of the Federation Regiment. And it worked very well.
And what was your role with?
I was adjutant. Pretty well the whole time, yes. I came on for a short time and then adjutant.
And what equipment did they have?
Well, they were all the infantry battalion equipment, from rifles, and Bren guns, stands, you know, usually.
And they were Malays?
40% Malays, 40% Chinese, 20% others. So I had all that lot all mixed up. The Chinese officers, they all went to England to do their course at Eden Hall. The Chinese officers were the best, they were excellent. The Malays were very charming and very good at drill, and the Sikhs were good too. And the Tamils, yes, the others, so to speak, yes, they were all right. And it was a good concept, you see, I had a lot of trouble with the Malay side of life. And he wouldn't allow, in the end, any imam or anybody to come in to the camp. So therefore he said to me, even, I'm not going to allow any C of E champion either. We just have terrible rows with headquarters because he wouldn't allow the senior padre to come in. He said, well, I can't. If I don't allow the imam to come in, I'm not going to allow him to come in. And he was very, very dedicated to this mixture to last. Ultimately, after I left, the Federation Regiment Battalion and the Armoured Car Squadron got together and formed two armoured car regiments, one of which at least went to the Congo. They were very good. But they were always going to be in trouble once we left Malaya, because the Malay element, you know, the government and all that, would pressurise, and the Malay side would try and push out the Chinese time, which was a shame.
Who was the CEO when you were there?
He was Lieutenant Colonel Trevor, T.H. Trevor. A lunatic.
And how did the unit function against the enemy in the jungle.
Well, like all the other, he was given an area and then had to go on patrols and, of course, and work on information. It's given, you know, that we know, or we think we know there's a camp there, you know, then you go out and try and find it. But the police, who are British, unfit, had their favourites. I mean, if they got some good information, they'd hold it and give it to the Gurkhas. You know, and we had a great deal of difficulty in them. And they were naturally, people naturally pro-Malay. It was like we're pro-Arab, English people, we're pro-Malay, really. You know. And they didn't sort of cotton on to the idea of this regiment very much. So we had some trouble in really getting, the big thing being getting kills. But they did their stuff well. You know.
Which part of Malaya were they operating in?
Well, we started up in the north, in Kedah, and then we ended up in Johor. Where I discovered that my old enemy, the chap of my other days, had been well and truly shot.
In which parts were the enemy most strong, do you think, of those areas you've mentioned?
Well, I don't know, you can hardly say. I really didn't know enough to know. I think probably Johor. On the other hand, Kedah was near the border of Siam. And couldn't really say.
What were your main problems as adjutant?
Well, the adjutant chiefly, of course, is a disciplinary thing as much as anything. And making sure that, you know, the race has gone on all right, not in any trouble, and that the British officers didn't drink too much. But I mean, you know, just it's a day-to-day thing. We didn't mount a battalion attack or anything like that. Nobody did, not then. Right at the very beginning, most of the Suffolks, yes, it was a different thing. The enemy were in strong, sort of defended themselves. But this elusive chasing of guerrillas is jolly difficult. We used to get the artillery up and fire, and they'd shoot away into some square on the map, meaningless. They didn't know where anybody was, couldn't see, and the aircraft couldn't see through the foliage.
Did you go out in the jungle yourself?
Yes, once, twice, yes.
What was your experience then?
Well, I'd already done the jungle warfare course. Well, I came out okay. And it was, well, you know, very good. You sat in there, you set up your tent, your headquarters, and then you pondered on the map and sent out or went out on a patrol, like the areas, or if we got some information, lay an ambush. That sort of thing. I didn't actually encounter any enemy in my sense, but I did on the course. We encountered some of them.
Can you describe that?
Well, the course, which was all British officers of varying ranks, this particular time, they had information that there was a camp. We went up, funny enough, from Singapore by boat and landed up the west coast and went ashore. And then after a time, the time was up and the instructor was determined to find this place, so everybody went away except myself and a sergeant finding out of the West Yorkshires and two others and himself. And they found the camp, located the camp, but there was nobody at home, luckily, I think. But they weren't far off. And interesting enough, the sergeant, the West York sergeant who had been SAS, he spotted just a single cut branch, and on that basis he knew the camp was in it, was quite close. I mean, you see it, it's enormous, you think, well, that's good, I've seen it. But you can.
As far as your job as adjutant was concerned, did you have disciplinary problems?
No, nothing. Nothing couldn't be in adulteries, I'd assume. not perhaps first, but we got
well, the tape is on. On yes. So if you don't want it recording, then perhaps tell me afterwards.
Yes, it's not really a bit of a lot.
But as far as the Malays were concerned, what qualities did they bring to the unit apart from being good at drill?
Well, yes, they were cooperative, you know, they were all right. They just didn't have the, what was the officers really? They didn't have the go of the Chinese. Go, yes, determination. But no, they were okay. But actually, funnily enough, while I was there, they wanted to groom up, well, to take over a battalion, because they were all British commanded. And they got this semi-sultan chap, and he wouldn't do it. And later they got them to command, like when and they went into Indonesia, but they had British seconds in command who really did the work. The Malays wouldn't do it, but the Chinese could easily do it.
When you say they wouldn't do it, they wouldn't do the job properly.
They couldn't. They wouldn't, yes. They'd obey anybody, work it all out for them. But he didn't want to be the CO. I expect they'd wore off in the end, as he got more responsibilities.
And so you were in Malaya from 53 to 57.
So at the end, of course, Merdeka was the thing coming along any time. It's just one thing, slightly amusing, but to show the Chinese point of view. In order to recruit, we used to recruit tappers and simple-minded Chinamen who didn't realise what they were in for till they arrived in the regiment, and so they used to desert in large numbers and were consequently being court-martialed. And on one occasion, the president of the court, who was an English officer, said, this is on swearing in Corporal Koch, who was my ordinary corporal. He duly swore in. Afterwards, I said, how long have you been a Christian, Koch? Since this morning, sir. Which, like, the other one, I remember doing a translation. The president said to two of these unfortunate tablets, how plead ye? Guilty or not guilty, the charge is laid. One said, often, Koch had went, see? And the other said, boo. And all I know is he said yes, and he said no. That's all they said. He said, sir, they both plead guilty and throw themselves on your honour's mercy. And afterwards, this chap said to me, would you, the commanding officer, most impressed by the translator, absolutely first class.